Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find 13 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Dalid. We glance at the side where we have a topic heading, which in this case is of a rather general nature. We've written Oid Benesinas Get Al Tnai. More further discussion concerning a divorce document that's given with a stipulation, with a condition. The Mishnah. Hare zegitech almanas shetitni li mosayim zuz. Man says to his wife, this is your get, on condition that you give me 200 zuz. Zuz being a form of currency, if you prefer, on condition that you give me $200. Hare zu migureshes vetitain. The get will be effective, and she's expected to give the money to fulfill the condition. Another stipulation, another example. Almanas shetitni li mikan v'ad shloshim yom. He says that this is your get, on condition that you give me 200 zuz, from now till 30 days. Im nosna lo b'sof shloshim yom migureshes, if she gives him the money within 30 days, she'll be divorced. V'im lav, eino migureshes. And if not, she's not divorced. Omar Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Maisa b'tzidon. Tzidon is the name of a place. Be'echod sh'omar li'ishto, involving a man who said to his wife, Hareze gitech, amanas shetitni li itztalisi. This is your divorce document on condition that you give me my itzla. Itzla is it's a name of a garment. The avda itztaliso, and the garment got lost. The omru chachomim titein lo es domel. The chachomim ruled that she can give instead its value. The Gemara. Before we continue with the Gemara text itself, let's glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei. Point 1, Machlikis Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Ma Pirush V'titein B'Mishnosenu. We saw in the Mishnah, we have little arrows to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where we are quoting from in the Mishnah. Man said, I'm giving you a get, this is your get, on condition that you give me pay me 200 zuz, she'll be migreshes vititain. So we want to know, what does that vititain, which literally means, and she shall give the money, what's the halachic meaning of that? Point number 2, machlokes zu mofia gamkein v'inyan kiddushin al tanai. This machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda appears regarding a marriage that's done al tanai. Almanas she'etain loch mosayin zuz. Where a man marries a woman on condition that he promises to give her 200 zuz. Now the Gemara. Mai v'titain. Rav Huna Omar v'hi titain. Rashi explains that as far as Rav Huna is concerned, all that is reflected by the Mishnah is a condition, a mere or common condition or stipulation. Rav Yehuda Omar liches shetitain. According to Rav Yehuda, the divorce is not a divorce until she pays. These two opinions sound very similar. My binaya, what is the difference between them? Where will you see a manifestation of the difference? Iko binayu shiniskara haget o shovad. A point of difference will be if the get prior to the payment of the money got torn up or lost. Before we go any further, we glance at the Rashi. Vehi titain. Rashi says, Tanai ba'alma hu. It's a standard or a general condition, stipulation. Vehi mekaim olei, and when the stipulation is fulfilled, namely the payment, she pays him the money. Igloi milsa, it becomes clear retroactively, the mishas nesino gita have. From the time she received the original document, it was already a valid divorce. The chol almanas me'afshav hu, the almanas came to likayim. When the condition is stated using the almanas term, this is your get on condition that you do such and such and such. It really means it is your get from right now in anticipation of your fulfilling the condition. According to Rav Yehuda, though, it's not so. Rav Yehuda does not say that we view the condition as something that has an effect retroactively, but rather there is no divorce until the moment the money is paid. Therefore, if the get gets torn up or lost before the money is paid, and we just said, according to you, the activating, the actualizing of the get is at the point the money is paid, not retroactively. Well, if there's no get that's extant at that time, there's no divorce. The Gemara continues. Here the Gemara spells out the opinions. Rav Huna Omar, Vehi Titain. Rav Huna said that the condition was a standard condition or stipulation, and when it's met, Eino Tzricha Himena Getsheni. If when the money is paid, the get is no longer around, that is of no concern to us. There's no need for a second get. As we explained, the approach taken by Rav Huna is that the payment of the money activates the get retroactive to the time, back to the time that it was given. So at the time it was given, the get was around, and there's no need for a second get. Rav Yehuda Omar, Lichashi Titain, the get is not effective until the money is paid. Tzricha Himena Getsheni, in the event that the get is lost or is torn up, if when the money is paid, the get is no longer around, there will be the need for a second divorce document to be prepared and given to her. Notice we have a long point. Utna nami gabi kidushin ki hai gavna. We have a Tanaic source with regard to marriage that appears in a similar vein. Desan, desnan. Ha'imer li isha reyat mekudeshes li. Amanas she'etein loch mosayim zuz. Man says to a woman, you are married unto me on condition that I give you 200 zuz. The result of that is, arei hi mekudeshes v'itein. She is married, and there is the need to pay the money. V'itmar mai v'itein. And we ask what is meant by v'itein. Rav Huna amar v'hu yitein. It's a standard condition that's built in, that he built into his marriage proposal. And when he pays her the money, so we'll know that she was married from their initial, from his initial proposal. Rav Huyuda Omar Lichishitain. There's no marriage until the actual payment is made. No retroactive marriage back to the point of their initial contact. My binayu, what would be a practical point of difference between the two? Iko binayu, an actual point of difference would be sheposhta yoda v'kiblu kiddushin me'achir. If in the interim, namely before the husband paid her the money, someone else, some outsider came and offered this woman marriage, and she accepted from another man before the first one paid the money. Rav Huna Omar Fahu Yitain, according to Rav Huna, who said that the V'Yitain is is a standard stipulation or condition. So, as far as he is concerned, Tanoa B'Almahu, it's a standard condition. Mikayim Tanoa, if he also, when he fulfills the condition, retroactively, the first marriage was the marriage, and the second fellow who comes along represents nothing. Rabbi Huda Omar Lichashitain means Lichi Yohiv Lo Hu Dahavu Kedushin. Hashta Lo Havu Kedushin. When the money is paid by the first man, then she's married to the first man. But until that point, she's not married to the first man. And therefore, if before the first fellow paid her the money, someone else came along and offered her marriage, and she agreed, she'd be married to the second man. We've presented then the Machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda twice. Once with regard to divorce, once with regard to marriage. Notice, by way of our markings, we have a long point, we call it Sricha. It's a long point made by the Gemara to say that it was necessary to teach their disagreement in both cases. And on the side, under the Mivneh, the structural note, you'll notice a volcano shape. We also have a squiggle underline. The squiggle underline, you'll see if you skim down the Gemara, highlights the expression de'iashmin and gabi. If I were told only by one topic, I wouldn't have known regarding the other topic. The volcano highlights the terms kiddushin and gerushin. And we've noted hezber lama yitzorach lelamed pamayim machlokes Rav Huna Rav Yehuda begerushin begiddushin. Why was it necessary to teach this controversy, this disagreement, in both contexts? You'll notice the double underline is used to highlight the expression Beho Ka'omar Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda. Oftentimes in Gemara markings, we use markings simply to accentuate the symmetry of the Gemara structure. And here you have a case in point. So now, we go into the Gemara text, Utsricha, I need to be taught the machlokis, the disagreement in Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, in both contexts, Kiddushin and Gerushin. Di Ashmin and Gabi Kiddushin. If I were to have taught only Kiddushin, Behokam Rav Huna, Thuhu Yitain. Here, maybe, only here, Rav Huna would have said that it's a function of a condition that when fulfilled retroactively shows that there was marriage from the outset. Mishum de the kruva ka'asi, since his intention is to draw her near, he's trying to marry her. Therefore, when he says almanas she ete loch masayim zuz, his intention is for her to be married to him from right now. Avol, and that will be the case. Using the analysis of a hu yitain, if the fulfillment of the condition shows us that retroactively from their initial contact, the marriage already took place. That's because, once again, likruva, because he's trying to draw her near. He's trying to, we'll say, hasten things. Aval gabi gerushin, dilarachuka kasi. However, with regard to divorce, where the point is to distance her, ema moda le rav yuda. I would have thought that Rav Huna would agree with Rabbi Huda that it's not a divorce until the money is actually paid, until she actually pays him the money as was stipulated. But no retroactive divorce from the initial handing over of the get. So therefore, teaching just the case of Kiddushin and Shitas Rav Huna with regard to Kiddushin would not have been sufficient for us to discover Rav Huna's approach with regard to Gerushin. The Yashmin and Gabi Gerushin, had we presented their machlokes only with regard to Gerushin, Behokom Rav Huna Vehi Titain. Only here Rav Huna says that, well, when she pays, retroactively the divorce was effective from the beginning. Why? Mishum de lo kosif lemit ba'ah. The husband, being that he's divorcing her, he's not, kosif means embarrassed. He's not embarrassed, or he won't be reticent to claiming from her the money. Let us take a look at Rashi, across from here, more or less. Lo kosif lemit ba'ah, mosaf. He won't be embarrassed to claim from her the money. Hilkach. Lo tzorech lei lemitli gita b'matan mois. Therefore, there's no need for him to make the divorce dependent on her paying the money. Umeashav karmala, and therefore he's willing to have the get effective immediately. As far as the money, he'll go seek out the money. Avol gabi kiddushin deksifa limit be'e, but in the case of kiddushin, the woman who was offered money from the husband, she's embarrassed to seek out the money. Emo modi le Rav Yehuda. Maybe Rav Yehuda would agree with Rav Yehuda that the marriage isn't going to take place so fast. She is actually somewhat deterred from seeking out the money that was part of the condition. So, as far as we're concerned, had we not been taught the case of Kiddushin, I would have thought that Rav Huna would concede to Rav Yehuda's position that there's no marriage until the money is actually paid. And only from that point on would there be a marriage. V'yashmin gabi kiddushin, and now we're going to focus on Rav Yehuda. And we taught his position with regard to marriage. V'holkam Rav Yehuda lichshitein. Here Rav Yehuda says that the marriage does not take place until the money is actually paid. Mishum b'ksifa l'mitbei, because otherwise she's embarrassed to seek out, to claim from him the money that he agreed to pay her. So we're not going to be so swift to recognize the marriage from the outset. Avogabi girushin v'lokosif l'mitbei, ema moda l'ravuna. But in the case of divorce, where he is not embarrassed to seek out the money they agreed upon that she should pay him, maybe Rav Yehuda would agree with Rav Huna that the divorce would be effective immediately. V'yashmin and gabi gerishin, and had we featured only the machlokas with regard to gerishin, ba'okam Rav Yehuda lichshititein. Only here Rav Yehuda might have said that the divorce is not effective until the money is actually paid. And namely, only from that point onwards. Mishum d'rachukah kasi, because the husband's goal there is to distance her. Aval gabi kiddushin d'rachukah kasi, but in the case of marriage, he's trying to draw her near unto himself to create a family unit. Emo modu le Rav Huna. I would have thought that Rav Yehuda would agree with Rav Huna that the marriage is effective from the outset, and all we have to do is wait for the fulfillment of the condition. Tzricha. Therefore, it's necessary for us to teach the machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, both in the case of divorce and in the case of marriage, when they are done on condition. Meisvei. At this point, the Gemara will raise a question. Notice it's a long question. The question will be directed against the approach of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda had viewed the statement, Almanas She'etein Loch Mosayim Zuz, as a, we'll say, a make or break factor, not a stipulation or a condition which operates in a retroactive fashion, but rather only at the point that the condition is actually fulfilled will the divorce be effective. So now the Gemara. Meisvei, hareze giteich amanas shetitni li mosayim zuz. This is your divorce on condition that you give me 200 zuz, the husband says to the wife. Even though before the money is paid, the get got torn up or lost, she is divorced. This, by the way, is a point we saw earlier in the Gemara in showing the point of difference between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Huna, it wouldn't matter if the get is torn up or lost, because when the money is finally paid, retroactively, the get was effective from the time that it was given. So here you have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Huna's approach. However, she should not marry someone else until the money is actually paid. Vioid Tanya. We have another source that says, Hareze Gitech Amanash Shetitni Li Mosayim Zuz. This is your divorce on condition that you give me 200 Zuz, Umes. And the husband died. Nosna, if she paid the money, Eino Zukuko Liyavam. She is not bound to the levirate marriage. She is a divorcee, and hence there's no obligation on her part to marry his brother in the Yavam marriage. Lo nasna, if she did not pay the money, zukuka liyavam, she is bound to the Yavam. Rav Shlomo Gamliel Omer, noisenes la'aviv o li'achiv o li'echad min akrevim, she can pay the money that was stipulated to the husband's father, brother, or some one of the other relatives. Ad kan lo pligi elo demorsov arli velo liyorshai. Up till this point, there is no machlokis between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel, other than defining the word li. When he stipulated, this is your get on condition that you give ashtini li mosayim zuz, the Tanakama holds, the first opinion holds, li means to me literally, velo liyorshai, and not to my heirs. Umorsovar, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, li vafilu liyorshai. Li is not exclusive of giving it to his heirs. In other words, if the husband dies, the money can still be paid to the heirs, and that will be a fulfillment of the condition. Ukule almo miha, everyone, however, agrees, tno have, that the statement of almanashe titni li mosayim zuz is a tnai, it's a condition that when fulfilled will show that the get was effective retroactively from the very beginning. We take a look at Rashi, Aval dekule almo teno have, velo tolo haget bishas matan mos. The get is not dependent on the time the money is paid. De'i lichshetitein komar, if you were to understand it as Rav Yehuda said, that the get becomes a get when the money is paid, nehinami deli afilu yorshai mashma, even if you say that li includes the heirs, miu havele get lachar misa, would be a get that becomes effective after death, and that can't be. So we have a source that would seem to indicate tiufta de Rav Yehuda. Do we have then a Tanaic source refuting the Amora Rav Yehuda? Omar loch Rav Yehuda ha moni rebihi. The source we just read is in accordance with Rebbe. The Omar Rav Huna Omar Rebbe. When a stipulation is stated using the term almanas, it's equivalent of saying, this is your get me'achshav from right now, on condition that you fulfill the stipulation. Upligi rabbonon ole. And Rav Yehuda will tell you that the sages, the other rabbis, disagree with Rebbe. That by saying almanas, you are not indicating that it's a get from now, from the time that it's given. Vano diamri ki rabbonon, and I hold like the rabbonon. And therefore, Rav Yehuda maintains his position that when a stipulation like that is made, homerli harezi gitech almanas shetitni ni mosayim zuz, the get is not effective at all until the money is actually paid. Prior to that, there is no divorce. No divorce retroactively whatsoever. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a house marking, a house shape, and on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading, the house represents Shtei Gishois, two approaches. Im Dinoi Shel Rebbe, Kolom Amras Kemer Me'achshav Domi, Rebbe's law that we just saw, anyone who stipulates using the Almanas term is tantamount to saying, I want the deal to be effective from right now. So there are two approaches, Shonri B'machlokas, O Havei L'Dever Kol. Is Rebbe's din something that's really controversial, or something that all would agree with? Certainly, if you asked Rav Yehuda that question, he will say it's controversial. The Gemara, Omer Rabbi Zeira, Ki Avinon beBavel, Aminon. When I was in Bavel, Rabbi Zeira started his career of Torah scholarship in Bavel, and eventually went to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, when we were studying in Bavel, we said, Hav Yomer Avuna Amar Rebbe Koloim Almanas Kemer Ma'ashav Domi Pligi Rabbanan Alei. That's what we were taught, that Rebbe's teaching is a machlokes. And it's noteworthy that Rabbi Zeira actually studied by Rav Yehuda, as is evidenced in several Gemaras. In the Shas, you have, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Gemara in Brochus and a Gemara in possibly in Ksubis that show that. And so it's of no surprise that Rabbi Zeira, and by the way, Rav Yehuda was a scholar in Bavel. So Rabbi Zeira is saying, when we were studying Bavel, we were taught that Rebbe's halacha of kol ha'emel amanas k'mim achshav domi, the use of the phrase amanas is tantamount to saying from right now, is the opinion of Rebbe, but the rabbis disagree. He's sleeky. When I went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachte the Rabbi Asi, the Yosef v'Kolmar Mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan, I found Rav Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Moidim Moyer Almanas Koimer Me'Avshav Dami, that everyone agrees that when a condition is phrased using the term Almanas, it means from right now, that the deal is clinched or is effective from right now. Lo nechliku elo b'mehayoyim l'achamisa. A machlokas will arise if that term is used. This is a term we've seen in the past. A husband says to his wife, harezi gitech mehayoyim l'achamisa. Concerning that, there's a machlokas. According to the Rabbanan, there is a doubt whether it's another example of a condition, a stipulation, or his statement, l'achamisa, is really a reversal of his saying mehayom, and therefore there would be no get. And according to Rebbe, that is a tnai. It's another example of a straightforward stipulation. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis with a brisa that supports this. V'hotanya mehayom l'achamisa get veino get divrei chachamim Rebbe Omer koze get. You see in this source that Rebbe and the Chachamim argue over the case of Mehayom L'Achamisa, leaving us to conclude that Harei Zikitech Almenas Shetitni Li Mosayim Zuz, that there's no machlokas over that. Rather, that means Kol Omer Almenas, when you use the term Almenas, it means from right now. The Rav Yehuda of the Amar Be'almanas Pligi, according to Rav Yehuda, who claims that there is a machlokis between Rebbe and the Chachamim when using the term Almanas, with regard to this Brisa, this Tanaic source, Ademiflegi B'mehayom L'Acharmisa Liflegi B'almanas, instead of presenting the machlokis concerning Mehayom L'Acharmisa, present the machlokis with the use of the Almanas term. Why didn't it do that? Why did the source choose to say that there's a machlokas concerning Mehayom L'Achamisa? Answer, Lo diacha keiche de Rebbe, to show us how far Rebbe goes, that even Mehayom L'Achamisa, which has a you could see room for thinking that it's not a mere condition, but Rebbe says it's a straightforward condition, and the get will be kosher. The Gemara asks, "V'lifnigu ba'amanas l'dicha koichan the rabbanon? Why not present according to Rav Yehuda the machlokes tanoim surrounding almanas, and to show us the koyach, the strength of the rabbanon, how far the rabbanon go, and that even almanas would be puzzle." In other words, if harei zekitech almanas shetitni li mosayim zuz umeis, and the husband dies, there can't be any fulfillment of that, because according to Rav Yehuda and his version of the Rabbanan, almanas does not reflect me'achshav, from right now, but rather only upon the fulfillment of the condition. And in the case that the husband dies, the condition can't be fulfilled, because it would then be a problem of a get li'achar misa. And by presenting the case that way, you would show us how far the Rabbanan go in their restriction, in their stringency, in their willingness to avoid the get. The Gemara answers, Koyach de hetera odiflei. As far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, this source could have presented the machlokas concerning almanas as well. However, the interest of the Tanaic source is to show how far an opinion can be in its hetera, in its permitting something, in its accepting of something, in its, we'll call it, in its leniency, and so far as validating the get, that even Mehayom Lachar Miso, Rebbe will say that's a kosher get. That's called Koyach de Hetera. It shows how far you can go in being lenient. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah. There was another case featured in the Mishnah where he said, on condition that you give me the money between now and 30 days. And the Mishnah went on to say that if the money was paid within the 30 days, she is divorced, and if not, then she's not divorced. The condition wasn't met. The Gemara asks, do you really need a Mishnah to teach me that which is obvious? Pshita. It's clear. It's simple. It's obvious. Why does the Mishnah teach it? Mahu de temo. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought, kepede lav kepeda ulazar zukasi. His insistence on the payment within 30 days wasn't a true, deliberate expression of insistence, of unacceptance of any alternative. Rather, I would have thought he was simply trying to hasten her. Komash Molon, the Mishnah tells us, no, when he states within 30 days, yes, and if not, not, that's a kepeda, that's an absolute condition, and hence, only if the payment is made within 30 days will the divorce be effective. Omar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Maisa Betzidon v'chule. In reading the Mishnah, we then encountered a story. The question the Gemara asks is, how does the story prove that which was taught beforehand? When stories appear, when maisim appear in Mishnayos, they appear in order to prove a point that was mentioned prior. So the Gemara asks, quoting the Mishnah, Amar Shimon Gamliel, Maisa Betzira v'chulei, Mai Tano de Kotani Maisa, what was taught before this, that the Maisa, this story, is coming to serve as proof to? The Gemara answers, Chisuri Mechasra v'hachi Kotani. The Mishnah is stated in an abbreviated form, and the true understanding of it is as follows. If the husband stipulated, this is your divorce on condition that you give me my itzdalisi, we mentioned that's the name of a garment, the itzdala was lost, itzdalisi dafka karmala, the Tanakama holds that the husband was insistent on that garment and no alternative. And therefore, if the itzdala is lost, so she won't be divorced. Rav Shimon Liel Oimer, titein lo es domeha. Rav Shimon Liel says, unlike the Tanakama, she has an option. She can give the money value to the husband, and that will be the equivalent of, that will be a fulfillment of his original condition for the get to be a get. The Yomar of Shulam Liel, Maisenami Bitsidon, and Rab Shulam Ben Gamliel, now he proves his point from an incident that took place in Tzidon, name of a place, regarding a man that said to his wife, this is your get on condition that you give me my itzla. The of the itzla, and the itzla got lost. The rabbis there said, well, she can give him the itzla money equivalent, and she'll thereby be meeting the conditions, and the divorce will go through. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Baal Shehisna Haget Bekabolas Kesef Mishto, a husband that made a divorce dependent on his receiving money from the wife, V'achar Kach Mochala, and before she paid the money, he relieved her. He forgave the condition. Ha'im ha'mechilu nechshav kikabola, is his relieving her of the obligation the equivalent of his having received the money. Let's emphasize that the condition for the get was on condition that he receives from her the money. Is his subsequent relieving, mechila, of that the same thing as his having received the money? If you say it's not, then it's true he may have relieved her from the obligation, but the conditions for the get haven't been met, so she won't be divorced. The Gemara. Bomine Rabbi Asi Mirabi Yochanan. Hare ze giteich al menashe titni li mosayim zuz. This is your divorce document on condition that you give me 200 zuz. The chazar v'yamala, and then later on, the husband said, "Mechulim lach, I forgive you the money payment." Mahu, what is the din? The Gemara points out that this question can be raised both according to the Rabbana, the Tanakhama, and according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. In other words, in light of the points they made above in the case involving the itzdila that got lost, this question can be raised. Tiboy the Rabbanon, Tiboy the Shulam Liel. Tiboy the Rabbanon, the question can be raised within the opinion of the Rabbanon. Ad kan lo kam Rabbanon hasam. The Rabbanon indicated specific payment or delivery of the itzdila. No alternative. He said that the Rabbanon hold that Elo Delo Ochlo Gabo. In that case, there was no mechila, there was no relieving of obligation. He said, this get will be your get on condition that you give me the itzdila. As time went on, the itzdila got lost. We don't hear the husband being moichel, being relieving her, forgiving of the condition. Avolocha, but in this case, the husband forgave her the obligation. So we would view that, in other words, the Rabbanan would accept that as a fulfillment of his condition. Oy Dilma, or possibly Afir Shem Leo Lo Komar Elo Deka Mefaisale Bedomi. Reb Shimon Leal said that in the case of the lost itzdila, the get is an effective get, because she appeased him at least with cash, with something. In other words, the husband got something from her. Avalagamri lo. But who is to say, according to Shimon Leal, that if he relieves her and she pays him nothing as a result of his mechila, that would be the fulfillment of his condition? So the question Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan has been presented, and we pointed out that the question can be asked according to both approaches that we have seen earlier. So what's the law? Omar Le Eino Megureshes. Rav Yochanan says that she's not going to be divorced. She may have been relieved from the obligation or the expectation of paying him the money, but with that, the get also stops. There is no divorce. Esve, we challenge Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'imer l'chavero, kainam sha'atonen eli, emiaton eli sein livni, kur echot shechitim ishtei chavias shayayin. Man says to his friend, I prohibit you from benefiting from me any further until you give my son a measure of wheat and two barrels of wine. Rabbi Meir Omer, Osur Ad Shiitain, the friend cannot benefit from the speaker until he fulfills the condition. V'chachomim Omrim, Af Ze Yocho Lahatir Es Nidro Shelo Pi Chocham. The man who vowed can, in this case as well, relieve himself of the vow even without approaching a Torah scholar, which is called standard procedure for vow annulment. In this case, the vow can be annulled even without approaching a scholar for his intervention. V'omer, by the vower saying, Hareini ki'ilu iskabalti. You know, I said you can't benefit from me until you deliver to my son the above mentioned items. I want you to know it's as if I received it. So what do we see from here? We see that his forgiving of his original condition is considered a fulfillment of the original stipulation. So that we can say that mechila, the forgiving of it, is the equivalent of receiving it. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Hochi, Hashtahal, can you compare the realm of Gittin to the realm of Nidorim? Hosam, Litzura, Komechavin, Velotziar, on the case of the get, he made a stipulation. He said, this is your get on condition that you give me 200 zuz. In doing that, in stipulating that, he wanted to mitzair, he wanted to cause her pain. With his subsequent forgiving of that, so his original intention is not fulfilled. He's not causing her pain. And that was his intention. He wanted the get to be a get only if she experiences pain. And by his forgiving of it, that wasn't met. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can tell you that the get is not a get. Hacha mishum harvochahu v'halo hitzdrich. In the case of the vow, the point was the vower wanted a feeling of profiting, harvochav, increase. And the desire for increase is because a person has a feeling that he needs that item. But as time went on, he didn't need the item. So, therefore, the mechila there is a fulfillment of the condition. Hahu gavra de omar le la risei. Was a man that said to his Oris is a sharecropper. Kule alma dolu tlas dalvisa viachli riva. The standard practice of sharecroppers in our area is that they water the field, say three times. Literally, the term dolu dalvisa is to draw water in pails in order to irrigate a field. So the standard procedure is they do it three times, and the profit that the sharecroppers get is 25%. They eat riva, a quarter of the harvest. At doli arba, with you, I want to do four waterings. V'achol tilsa, and for the increased watering, you also get increased profits from the or increased yield from the field, 33%. V'achol tilsa, and consume a third. So that was the deal that the owner made with his sharecropper. L'soif osa mitra. In the end, it rained. There was no need for the sharecropper to do anything. What rights does the sharecropper have? Omar Rav Yosef halo dola. Rav Yosef said, well, he didn't water. He certainly didn't water. He didn't need to water at all. So that he can't insist on getting any more than the standard practice, namely 25%. He can't expect the 33%. Rabbi Omar, holo itzdericha. Rabbi says, he didn't water because it wasn't necessary for him to water. We're looking more at not the means, but rather the ends. Rav Yosef wanted to emphasize the means, the focus on the action of watering. Rabba looks at the ends. What's the need for the watering? And as such, his good fortune shone brightly upon him, and therefore he can insist on the increased amount that he had agreed with together with the owner, 33%. Lema Rav Yosef Domar Karabonan V'Rabo Diomar Karab Shimon Gamliel. Shall we say that Rav Yosef holds like the Rabbanan? That's a reference to the case of the get being dependent on her returning the itzdalah to the husband. And if the itzdalah is not returned, so there's no get. The Rabbanan were called dafka, were insistent on exactly what was stated. And Rav Yosef seems to take that approach here, insisting exactly on that which was stated, watering four times. And if that wasn't done, so he cannot, the sharecropper cannot insist on the increased profit. Rabbah, who said that the insistence on the itzdalah wasn't specifically stated, that condition can be met even by paying the money value. In other words, there's flexibility, the emphasis more on the ends. So he would go like D'Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. He would seem to parallel Rav Shimon Gamliel that said in the case of the warning, well, if it's not, the rain was in lieu of the physical drawing of the water and irrigation. That would seem to parallel Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rashi says, Rav Shimon Gamliel says the money value of the itzlis was instead of the itzlis. Here too, the rain is instead of the watering. The Gemara, though, responds to this. This was a question of lema. Shall we say that Rav Yosef parallels the Rabbanan and Rabbah, Rav Shimon Gamliel? However, the Gemara responds to that by asking the Tisbara. Tisbara is a term where the Gemara stops dead in its tracks and says, well, you've got to explain what you just suggested. We have a general principle then. When Rabbah argues with Rav Yosef, we would follow the opinion of Rabbah. And in this particular case, we don't follow Rav Shimon Liel and his leniency, his flexibility. So it would be difficult for us to set up Rabbah like Rav Shimon Gamliel. On the one hand, we want to paskin like Rabbah, but in this case, we know that we don't follow Rabbah and Shimon ben Gamliel. Ela li'olam kirabonan. Rather, Rabbah and Rav Yosef go like the Rabbanan. Rav Yosef kirabonan. Rav Yosef doesn't need explanations how he fits in with the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, in the case of the itzdalah, were insistent specifically on itzdalah. Rav Yosef says that the sharecropper is not entitled because he didn't do the stipulated amount of work. Straightforward presentation of the Amora. Rav Yosef paralleling the Tana Rabbanan, which we can represents a sheet of hakpoda, of inflexibility. V'Rabba Omar Loch, Rabba, who benefited the Oris in the case above, he says, Rabba Omar Loch, Anoti Amri Afilu Rabbanan. My approach can conform to the Rabbanan with regard to the Itzdalah. Ad Kan Lo Kran Rabbanan Hasam El Tzuro Kamachavin. There the Rabbanan were insistent on the Itzdalah specifically to the exclusion of money because the husband's intent was to cause her tsar, was to cause her pain in this divorce process, and therefore forgiving or accepting alternatives was not in the cards. avalocha, but in the case of the sharecropper, mishum arvochahu, the deal was made for purposes of increase, more water, more crops, for halu istrich, and it just wasn't needed because it rained, and therefore there's no, we'll say, contradiction within Rabba's approach to the Rabbonon, as the Rabbonon insisting in the case of the Itzla, only the Itzla, and in the case of the Oris, those very Rabbonon could be accepting of the rain in lieu of the actual watering, because the emphasis is placed on the ends. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Baal shehisno gito bekabolas kesef mishto, a husband made the divorce conditional upon receiving money from his wife, venosno lo, and she gives him the money. There are several factors that will be discussed in the Gemara. She gives it to him midato, meaning willing, with his knowledge, with his awareness, with his agreement. Of course, that's the optimal case. That will be a fulfillment of the condition, and the get will be a get. What about Baal Korchoi? What about her giving him the money in a form and a fashion that's Baal Korchoi, against his will? For whatever reason, it's true he made the condition, but then when it comes time to payment, he doesn't want to take the money, and she shoves the money on him. Bufonov, this is another consideration. The money is paid in his presence. You can also have a case of Shalom Bufonov. It's paid but not in his presence. Is that also effective? The issue is presented by first citing a Tanaic source that doesn't seem to be related at all, but it deals with the topic of what we call Bote Orechoma. Bote Orechoma is a Torah provision concerning houses in walled cities. The Chumash in Sefer, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, makes reference to a halacha that a house sold in a walled city can be repurchased by the owner, by the seller, up till a year, within a year. But if a year goes by and he hasn't bought it back from the buyer, the original owner cannot force its resale. Within a year, he can force the resale back to himself. The Gemara, Tanan Hosom, it's a Mishnah stated there regarding Bote Orechoma. Borishoina, at the beginning, in the old days, Hoya Nitman Yoim Shneimo Ser Chodesh Kedei Shei Cholut Lo. The buyer of the house in the Orechoma, in the walled city, you know what the buyers used to do? They used to hide at the end of the 12 months, at the end of the year, in order, Kadeshe Cholulo, in order that the house shall be permanently his. Hiskin Hillel Hazokain, Shei Chilish Esmoisov Lelishka. Hillel Hazokain, Hillel the elder, instituted that the original owner shall deposit his money in the Lishka, in the, we'll say, the office, in the department that is designated for this purpose, for him to deposit monies for repurchase of the bias in the Orechoma. So he'll deposit the monies within the year, and he will have the right to break down the door and enter his home. And whenever the buyer wants to get his money that was deposited in the Lishka, he has that ability to go and get his money whenever he wants. Vioma Rava. And now we have a structural note. The diamond introduces two versions of Rava, and that we indicate under the Mivne heading on the side, Shnei Lashonos Barava. So you see one over here, and the second Lashon will appear five lines from the top of Ayin Hey Omid Aleph. V'yoma Rova mitakonosa shil Hillel nishma, from the ruling of Hillel we can conclude the following. Man says to his wife, this is your get on condition, that you give me, that you pay me 200 zuz. Vinosna lo. And she pays him. Midaito migoreshes. If he is, at the point she pays him, he willingly accepts the money, she's divorced. Al korchoi, if the payment that she makes is at the time of the payment against the husband's will, he doesn't want to take the money at that point. Eino migoreshes. In other words, a forced payment upon him will not result in her being divorced. Now, how does Rava know to come to this conclusion? From the fact that in the case of the Bote Arei Chaima, he, Hillel, had to institute that a forced payment is considered a payment. We're at the top of Ayin Hamad Aleph. You can therefore conclude that in general, meaning in cases other than Bote Arei Chaima, Nesino Baal Korche Lo Havya Nesino, that forced payment is not considered payment. We have a new marking, the crown shape, and on the side under the Mivneh, we indicate Havlotas Hatkofas Rav Papa Bishnei Halishonas. Rav Papa attacks Rava's conclusion in both versions. So here is his attack in version 1, and after version 2, and the Iko de Amri is presented on the fifth line from the top, you see a few lines later, Rav Papa again introducing an objection. Up till this point, Rava is telling us that in the case of a husband stipulating again upon her paying him money, if it comes down to it that she's going to be paying him against his will, that's not considered a fulfillment of the condition. And Rava concluded this because of, we'll say, an inference from the fact that Hillel had to institute Nesina Baal Korche, being considered Nesina, paying against one's will, as being considered a delivery. In the case of Bote Yochoma, that's over there, but in general, no. Rav Papa objects, Maskif Lo Rav Papa Vitema, Rav Simi Barashi, other versions have Rav Simi raising the objection. Vidilma, it could be Ki Itzrich Le Liskuni Shelo Bafonov. All that Hillel instituted was that a payment that's made not in the presence of the receiver, that's considered a payment. Avol Bafonov, but a payment in the presence of the receiver? Bein midaito bein baal korche havya nesina. Whether it's with his agreement, with his acceptance, or even against his will, a payment is a payment, even if it's baal korche. And therefore, in the case of the get, if the woman forces the money upon her husband, that's a fulfillment of the original condition, and she will be divorced. V'ika di'amri, o marova, mitakonosa shil Hillel, from the takona that Hillel made concerning the Bote Arei Chaima, we can conclude regarding gitin hareze gitei hamanash etini mosayim zuz. Husband says to wife, this is your get on condition that you pay me 200 zuz. V'nos no loy bein midaito ubein baal korchoi havya nesina. And she pays him whether it's with his acceptance or even against his will. That's considered a payment, a fulfillment of the condition. V'chi yitzrech lilu liskuni, and Hillel's takona was necessary, Hillel's ruling with Bote Yochum was necessary to cover the case of shelo b'fonav, when the original owner is not there, that even in his absence, the payment that the payment to the buyer can be made even in his absence. As we saw, the money is deposited in the lishkan, the buyer can recover his money whenever he wants. Aval b'fonav, but in his presence, when the receiver of the money is present, bein midaito bein baal korchoi havya nesina, whether it's with their approval or not, it's considered a payment. So you can see that there's a major contrast between Rava in Lashon 1 and Rava in Lashon 2. Rava in Lashon 1 indicated that her paying the husband Baal Korchoi would not result in her divorce. Rova number two says that Nesina Baal Korcho, if he's present, will result in her divorce. Maskif law Rav Papa Vitema Rav Simi Barashi. Rav Papa raises objection. Some versions have it Rav Simi doing so. Vidilma, it could be Afilu Bafonov Nami, even in his presence, Midaito in Al Korcho lo, a payment made with his acceptance, that's a payment. But if it involves a forced payment, then it's not a payment. V'Hillel, my de'itzterich lay token. And what Hillel established, he established what needed to be established. We take a look at Rashi on the second line from the top to the end of that line. My de'itzterich lay token. Raw, Hillel noticed, shoya nitman, that the original, that the buyers would hide on the end of the 12th month, for hiskin, and established the Baal Korchoi v'shaloi b'fon of Tainasina. That a payment even against the buyer's will and even in his absence shall be considered a payment. V'havi nami koi kamon v'yomar lo makbilna, and even if the buyer was standing in front of us and he says, I'm not taking the money, Have itzterich lilo namli nskuni deteve nesina. Even in that case, Hillel would have had to institute that it's considered a payment. That being that it's a forced payment, it needs to be instituted to be considered a payment. Otherwise, it's not. Elamash lo hutzrich, lo hutzrich. That which did not need to be instituted was not instituted. Vegabi get the isurahu. And when you're dealing with a divorce, which is in the realm not of financial matters, but of isurin. Isurin is the realm of that which is, let's say, ritually permissible versus prohibited. Lo kaimo takanta de hilo. Hilo's takana doesn't apply. In other words, institute that a forced payment would be considered a payment in order for the woman to then be divorced and allowed to marry whoever she wants. This is the realm of Isur. Gittin, divorces, marriage and divorces in the realm of Isur, and therefore the Takona is inapplicable. So that according to Rav Papa, the result would be that a Nesina Baal Korcha in the case of the get would not result in the get being effective. Rava, according to the second Lashon, wanted to maintain that a Nesina Baal Korcha would have been a good Nesina. Omar Rabo, Baba Hanam Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mokom Shishona, Rab Shimon Liel B'Mishnosenu, wherever Rab Shimon Liel appears in Mishnayos literature, Halacha Kamoso, the Halacha will follow his opinion. Chutz, and here's a list of three areas of halacha, two of which are not relevant to us right now. We'll just mention them by name. And one of the three is from our sugya. So three areas that we will not follow Hillel, well, Rav Shimon Liel, in the case of Orev, the Tzidon. Tzidon is dashed underlined because that's our case involving the Itztala and the money equivalent being paid to fulfill the husband's condition. The Raya Achrona. That's a third case. Again, it's not relevant to our sukya. It's simply referred to as the case of Raya Achrona. These are found in different masechtas. The case of Orev is found at the end of Perek Get Poshet, and the case of Raya Achrona is found in Maseches Sanhedrin. Therefore, as far as the Gemara's Maskona is concerned, if a husband said, I want, this is your divorce on condition that you give me back my Itztala, if it got lost, so the condition can't be fulfilled. It can't be fulfilled by her paying its money value, and therefore she will not be divorced. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.